Hey there, everybody. Welcome back to our second to last class, as we say in Spanish, penultima. Our penultima class. My buddy Shimmy Winter loves that word. And it's not the ultimate, it's not the end, it's second to the end. As we've been mentioning, the end can be bittersweet. And we have to remember that it's not the end. It's not even the beginning of the end. But as the great philosopher Jake the Snake Roberts once said, it is the end of the beginning. So this whole count that we've been doing does not have to do with going through the motions and forgetting what we've learned. This has to do with integration. And the way that we integrate this year will be fantastic. But guess what? It's going to be looking very sorry and paltry compared to next year, in 5 years, in 10 years. Unless, of course, Moshiach comes right away, God willing. And then we'll find out how we're going to celebrate Shavuos and how we count the Omer. But all we have right now is the situation that we have at hand right now. And so we talk about integration. We talk about moving forward and taking these concepts. And it's much more than just having knowledge. The Omer is transformational. If we have these bodies, these vessels that are amazing gifts, and we were given character defects, and we were given a wonderful, beautiful, holy neshama that can never be affected in a negative way and whatsoever. All that can happen is there's a vessel, and on the vessel can be dirty. Right? It's the same as a wonderful parent who sees their child is covered with pizgetti, as I used to call it, spaghetti, all over myself. And the parent doesn't get upset. The parent doesn't say, oh, you've ruined everything. The parent thinks it's funny and thinks it's cute, and goes and cleans up the child. And this is what Hashem is doing with us. That this whole practice is us coming and bringing ourselves to Hashem to say, Hashem, I need help. Hashem, I acknowledge that I have issues to work on. I'm not perfect, and I don't know how to go about it. Right, preceding the Omer, we did Pesach, and in Pesach, this physical action of cleaning for chametz is a physical avoda of cleaning out the inner chametz. And so too here with Kam the Omer, we have a practice and avoda of how we go and we clean out all the soot, all the dirtiness out of our character, out of our personality, out of our thoughts, out of our practices, out of our habits. And it's a beautiful, beautiful thing. And it doesn't end here, like I said. We get to integrate into the rest of the world. And here on this penultimate, if that's a word, day 48, Yesod Shel Malchus, we have a very, very cool teaching here in Dance of the Omer by Rav Benji Elson, where he brings down that Torah says that this is where Moshe wrote down all the words of Hashem in a book. So what do you mean? We're not there yet. We're about to write down, we're about to receive. The Midrash says that what was it about? It was about learning who Hashem is and what Hashem did and what Hashem's done. We didn't have the full story. We didn't have the full story of everything that Hashem had done up to now. We had a tradition. We had some oral stories that had been passed down from generation to generation, from Avraham Avinu up to that day. But even this left out so much, left out stories of creation, left out stories that are in Bereshit, and Sefer Bereshit left out some of the things that even the individuals did not know themselves. Maybe Yaakov Avinu didn't have the whole story of the ladder. Maybe Yaakov Avinu didn't have the whole story of what happened when he was put to sleep, so to speak, and had these dreams. And so we're finally revealed in a certain way of these underlying stories, and Hashem tells us about Hashem. We get to know Hashem in a more intimate way. And this is even more incredible because, as I may have shared here, may not have shared, that I came to Torah observance, Torah learning later on in life. I'd been seeker and learning all kinds of other things, and I didn't realize that the MS was in my backyard the whole time. So when I came to learn Torah, I could see the MS here, and I've thought about a lot of different things because I've learned a lot of different things, and people have asked too. They said, how can you be sure that you're on the right path? How can you be sure that Judaism's the one? How is it that Judaism's the one? Of all the different 8 billion people out there and different ways of thinking and different ideologies, different, quote, religions, ways of life, pantheons of gods and stars, astrology, crystals, everything. How can I be so sure? How can you be so sure? How can we all be so sure that we're actually on the right path? And that's what Shavuos is here for. You can see thousands of years later, we're still celebrating Pesach. If Pesach didn't happen, it would have been the second year where we say, you were there. And they would have said, no, I wasn't. This is made up. We know this is an ancient practice, and we know that we've been saying the same Haggadah for a long time. And we can talk about the eternity of the Jewish people, how the Jewish people just keep getting knocked down and keep getting back up. And even Mark Twain was asked this question. He said, how can you believe in God? He said, the Jewish people. The Jewish people just keep on sticking around somehow. And even this doesn't satisfy it. What does satisfy it, for me in any case, is Shavuos, that Shavuos has this crazy claim that not one person saw Hashem, had a message that brought back to the people. It was all of us. All 600,000 men, all 2.5 million children of Israel there saw the same thing. It wasn't something that was reserved for one person or for select few, and then the message was brought back. Everybody saw it, and it made an impact, a lasting impact in our neshama and who we are. We were changed forever. It's the only religion that claims mass prophecy. You can go look it up. Nobody else can claim mass prophecy because you can't make that stuff up. Because we have a tradition that it happened, and it happened. If we wouldn't have seen it, and we would have said, hey, so we have this new holiday called Shavuos, where we were celebrating the giving of the Torah, where all of us received the Torah at once. They'd say, what do you mean? That didn't happen. Yeah, it did. It just happened last year. No, it didn't happen. I wasn't there. You weren't there. This happened that every single person saw the same thing. We're like, wow. Remember last year when we saw that thing? Remember 2 years when we saw that thing? Remember 3 years when we saw that thing? Remember 4 years when we had this experience, this psychedelic, outer-worldly experience? Those words don't even do justice to what really happened. As Rav Benji brings down, it wasn't even going to happen that way. That initially, Moshe came back with Hashem's message saying that tomorrow I'm going to go back up and Hashem's going to tell me all the things and I'm going to come back down and tell you. He's going to give me the Ten Commandments and I'm going to come back down and give them to you. And the people, they said, uh-uh. They had a holy chutzpah. And they said, nah, 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 nah. We didn't travel all the way to hear from a middleman. We want to hear, see, and meet you, the divine source of all being. Let us hear straight from you. And Hashem said, Kol HaKavod. That's exactly what I wanted you to hear. That's exactly what I wanted you to say. And we can see this in time and time again with Tzaddikim along the way. 41 days from now, when Moshe Rabbeinu comes back down the mountain with the Luchos in hand and sees the people are sinning, Chet HaEgel, sin of golden calf, and he throws the luchos, the tablets on the ground, And Hashem says, Yasha Koyach. And Hashem says, that's it. I'm going to destroy the people. And Moshe Rabbeinu says, well, you can't destroy the people. If you destroy the people, erase my name from it. And Hashem says, Yasha Koyach. We see that Avraham Avinu was fighting for the people. He said, if there's 50 people, will you destroy the world? If there's 40 people, if there's 20 people, if there's 10 people, will you destroy the world? And he found out that there wasn't even 10. They couldn't even get a minion, including Hashem, to stand up in that place, Sodom and Gomorrah. And we see how many times the tzaddikim are fighting for the Jewish people. We have a tradition that Moshiach should have come already, that Moshiach's delaying. And who's delaying? Moshiach is the tzaddikim. The tzaddikim have come together to realize that Moshiach can come, as the sages said thousands of years ago. Let Moshiach come and let me not see him. Why would that be? It's not going to be pleasant. There's many things that are said going to happen, that our eyeballs are going to melt in our head. And you see now that people's eyeballs are melting in their head with technology, with pornography, with horrible things that people are exposed to. And most of the masses, most of the people don't even know that it's something that's bad for them until it's too late. And the tzaddikim understood that Moshiach can come through fire and brimstone, chas v'shalom, through not such nice ways, or through mamish, the most amazing, amazing ways of shalom and paradigm shifts and gratitude and love and unity and oneness, ahava, ahavat chinam, baseless love, radical love. And so they believe in the Jewish people, and so they've been praying for at least hundreds of years now that Moshiach should be pushed off, that we need more time. Because when Moshiach comes, it's going to be pencils down, test is over, hand in your test. There's no more making shuva. It's not going to be that when Moshiach comes that we're suddenly going to understand. It doesn't mean that when Moshiach comes that we're suddenly going to have more time. We're going to understand what the truth is and we're going to have more time to make last minute shuva. It's over. This is the last minute shuva. This is the time that we have. The waning moments, looking at the clock, hearing the clock ticking, while we're frantically writing down our answers, trying to finish the test in time, and trying to have the test in the right way. So the tzaddikim I mentioned yesterday, with ADHD, I used to get time and a half in class. And I mentioned that life doesn't give you time and a half, but Hashem gives you time and a half. Hashem can give you time and a half, and that's what He's doing with all of us. He's giving us time and a half. But we still have a 6,000 year time limit, and we're in the year 5784. And we still got to light candles 18 minutes early as we count down to the Shabbos, the eternal Shabbos that's coming when Moshiach comes. And as we know, we talk about the tzaddikim, and we talk about Yesod, and we talk about tzaddik, we talk about Yosef HaTzaddik, and we talked about earlier in this count about how Yosef HaTzaddik, his biggest test was when he had to bring his brothers back and forgive his brothers. Had to find the good in his brothers. Not only that, but he had to devise a plan that instead of hurting them, would bring them to a place of shuva. That would help them to see the error of their ways and how they had screwed up. And you can see that they are arguing with each other, saying, this is because we sold our brother. This happened to us because we sold our brother. We did wrong, we did evil in the eyes of Hashem. And they're able to do shuva. And it said that all of it changed in a moment, in an instant. When Yosef revealed himself to his brothers, he couldn't contain it anymore. And he revealed himself to his brothers and he said, Ani Yosef! And they couldn't even believe him, they were in so much shock. He said, if you don't believe my mouth with the words that I'm saying to you now, in the holy tongue in Hebrew, Lashon HaKoydesh, then look at my Brit Koydesh, and you'll see that I'm circumcised like you. And once they realized that it was real, they were dumbfounded, and they had seen how Hashem had been in their life the whole time, how everything they had gone through with the famine, with selling their brother, led to his brother becoming viceroy in an evil land with evil leaders. And it led to them being able to be saved, to being brought down, and to have the resources they needed to survive in this time of famine, and to be brought into a land that would protect them, even though they would enslave them. They could survive through it and be made mightier in the crucible of Mitzrayim. And they finally understood how everything connected together. Right, so what does this all mean to us? Here we are in Yesod Shel Malchus. Yesod Shel Malchus, as we talked about, being the foundation. Being the foundation. Being that person that others gravitate to, that others trust, that others are attracted to, that has the inner chen, that riz, that charisma, that swagger, that's something that people just love and want to be a part of. And it's not enough to have that. It's more important that the tzaddik loves the people and prays for the people and brings in the people and judges the people in goodness and sees the good in everybody and finds reason to forgive everybody and finds reason to give everybody off, to let everybody off the hook in a holy way while also allowing them to have their tikkun and to make shuva in a holy way and not in a way that harms them. And this is our job as leaders, that we have to be the tzaddik as a leader, that we have to be calm, that we have to have conviction, that we have to be grounded. It's not enough to be a leader, and it's definitely not enough to be a leader that forces people to do what you want them to do. It's not a leader. And it's also not enough to be a leader that gets people to do what you want them to do, but they're anxious and upset about it. When I say doing what you want them to do, I mean, you're the leader. You have the malchus of this purpose, and you're there to help people, not to harm people, chas v'shalom, not to make people do anything. But what I mean is that we're bringing people in, attraction rather than promotion. And it's not enough that we help them and they feel anxious about it or weird about it. The way that the people act is based on how the leader acts. As a new parent with a toddler, fortunately, sometimes he gets sick. And when he gets sick, it throws us off of our routine. And we have to find out what's wrong and do what's best for our son. Do what's best for our kids. And it's not enough to do what's best for our kids. We also have to be calm while we do it. We have to be grounded while we do it. It's not enough to do the right thing. We have to feel good and calm while we do it. And the kid has to feel calm as well. All too often, we're leading, but we're leading with anxiety. We're worried, we're scared. And of course, if your kid is sick, who isn't scared? Who isn't worried? Who isn't wanting and hoping and praying that he gets over this quickly? That he return back to normal quickly? And why is he acting like this? But if we're worried, the kid picks up on the worry and he gets more scared. When we're grounded and we know that we're doing everything we can, making sure to follow directions of doctors, taking him to doctors when necessary. If things are getting worse, we're taking him instantly to where he needs to go to see help right away. But are we doing all of that and we're freaking out? Or are we doing what we need to do and we know that everything's going to be okay and we're giving forth that confident leadership? Because here we are in Eretz Yisrael. Thank you, Hashem. Not too long ago, we got attacked by Iran, where they sent hundreds of missiles, drones, ballistic missiles, things that could harm us. And it's a miracle, an open miracle. Just like with the plagues for the people, It was an open miracle for the nations, and most people in that time would say, "Oh, it's let me tell you why it's not a miracle." Until it got to a point where they had to say, "Ah, it's the finger of God." Even then, couldn't give a whole credit to Hashem. So with this open miracle that happened in Iran, where they sent over destructive weapons of war, and they all got shot down, they all were, every single one didn't reach their target, their mark. Not one hair was hurt on a Jew's head anywhere. This is an open miracle, and miracles aren't enough. We have to receive the revelation of the Torah. This is what changed us, was the revelation of the Torah. And on that night with Iran, we as parents had a choice. We said, okay, well, we know that there's missiles coming. We know when they're going to get here about. We can either, A, go to the Mamad right now, to the bomb shelter right now, and wait, and try and sleep there. We can, B, go to the Mamad right now, the bomb shelter, and wait, and wait up and see what's going to happen. We can see, stay here in our place, in our beds, and stay up and see what's going to happen. Or D, we can stay here in our place and go to sleep like we normally would. And if something, God forbid, happens, we're going to get a siren. And we're prepared already, the Mamad's ready. So if it just so happens that that happens, we can get up and go. And we chose that one because we don't want to freak out the kid. We don't want to freak out the guests. We don't want to freak out people who are depending on us. And we don't want to be freaked out either. Staring, refreshing, praying, hoping, watching paint dry on the wall, hoping that nothing hits us. And in the end, nothing happened. And the leader that doesn't have yesod, doesn't have that ability to just chill and be grounded and be confident and know that good things are going to happen. So this is the message of Yesod Shel Malchus, to be the tzaddik, to pray for our people, to allow our people time to do what needs to be done, to judge them on the side of merit. You know, I used to work in a restaurant many years ago, lifetimes ago, and one of the mottos for the managers is catch them doing something right. We always want to nitpick and find the negative things people are doing, but when are we seeing all the good things they're doing and complimenting on the good things they're doing, saying thank you for the good things that you're doing all the time, and to be a confident leader, to be a grounded leader. Not only that, but we say Tzadik Yisod Olam, and Hashem is the ultimate Tzadik. Hashem is the ultimate Tzadik that is doing everything. And we are attaching ourselves to Hashem, to Hashem's groundedness, not to my own groundedness. As we said yesterday about Hod, about humility, and about attaching ourselves to Hashem, and not just doing our own thing and saying, Hashem, I got it. No, no, no. We got to be connected to Hashem at all times. Hashem's a tzaddik yisod olam, and it's our job to do our part. So when we do our part, attach to Hashem, and we lead with confidence, groundedness, praying for our people, helping our people, whoever is dependent upon us, whoever needs us, seeing the good in them, judging them side of merit, that we see that we are really real leaders and inching so ever closer to the Malchus, Shem Malchus, and to the giving of the Torah, the true revelation, that when Moshiach reveals himself and he says, Ani Moshiach, it's going to be like us when Yosef revealed himself. Ani Yosef. And at first we're going to be dumbfounded. At first we won't believe it. We're going to check for the signs and ask him, is this true? Is this not true? And when it comes to find out that it's true, we are going to then realize how this whole thing played out, how perfectly this whole thing played out. We're going to receive all the footnotes and all the bullet points of how Hashem did everything and how he's been doing with it and how he's been with us the whole time, and we'll have a true paradigm shift, a new way of looking at the world. No more duality in the way that we have. with only gratitude, only seeing the goodness of Hashem and everything that happens and everybody else, and be the ultimate leaders, leading each other in a world of unity with the revealed and united Eretz Yisrael, Am Yisrael, and the whole world together as one in real, real, real Shalom, Shalema, L'chaim. Talk to you tomorrow.